Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. You're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Amen. Been having a great time in the last few days studying remission of sins, studying forgiveness of sins as it is in Christ Jesus. You know, we've made a distinction between the Old Testament forgiveness and New Testament forgiveness. And then the past 2 days, we've been examining the place of repentance in the gospel. When Jesus says in Luke 24 verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, what exactly did he mean? What exactly is the repentance that a man needs to access this gift of remission of sins? Glory be to Jesus. And then we've been able to brush aside or knock off certain myths concerning repentance. People have considered repentance to be a change of habits, change of conduct, a total turnaround from your usual lifestyle. And you know, we've seen from scriptures how that is an impossibility for the man outside Christ. That is an impossibility for the man that is without the Spirit of God. Because a change of lifestyle is a product of salvation and spiritual growth. Hallelujah. A change of lifestyle is a product of salvation and spiritual growth. So salvation gives us the new life. Spiritual growth gives us the new lifestyle that comes from the new life we have received. Glory be to Jesus. So you discover that even for the believer, the man in Christ Jesus, the new lifestyle is not an automatic thing. There's no guarantee that you're going to live a new life or you know, exhibit new conducts and new characters and new lifestyle, though you have the tendency and the potential in Christ Jesus. There's no guarantee for such merely because you are saved or simply because you are saved. The guarantee for walking in newness of life is based on spiritual growth. Hallelujah. It's an offshoot of spiritual growth. A man will begin to live the life he has received as he begins to renew his mind according to the word of God and begins to make progress in the faith. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. So you see that transformation takes place when our minds are renewed by the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in the last two episodes, we've been able to establish from the Bible, from the word of God, that the repentance Christ preached and sent his apostles to preach is from unbelief to faith. From unbelief in all that the prophets had spoken and in all that he himself, you know, was saying to men. Unbelief in all the utterances of the prophets concerning salvation to, you know, faith in Christ Jesus. So this explains why faith or believing is such a strong emphasis in the New Testament. Hallelujah. As opposed to the word repent. Why? Because true repentance in the New Testament, true repentance towards God, is believing in Christ. It's faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't forget that we are presently addressing repentance for sinners and unbelievers. Repentance for the believer is a different thing entirely. It's the same with respect to how that it has to begin in the mind. There must be a change of mindset, a change of mind, a renewal of the mind. But then it's a different thing entirely because it's not repentance for salvation. Hallelujah. It's not repentance for the remission of sins. It's repentance for how to conduct your life, how to live your life now that you are in Christ Jesus. So believing is such a big deal in the New Testament. It is such a big deal. In fact, believing is the determinant for many things as taught by Christ and his apostles. Believing. Men should believe. Men should be. That's why Jesus had an emphasis on believing, calling men to believe and to believe and to have faith in the scriptures, to have faith in the word of God, to have faith in what he has done. Realize this, that the scriptures collectively bore witness and bears witness to the person of Christ and his work. John 5:39, you said the scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So the scriptures bear witness to Jesus. So faith in the scriptures is faith in Christ Jesus, faith in what Jesus has done, faith in the provision made available by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. I mean, that's the reason why Jesus is called the Word. If you cast your mind back to the first series in this podcast, you know, we dealt with the issue of the Word of God, the gospel. What exactly is the Word of God? And we saw clearly in scriptures how the Word of God is the person and the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. How the word of God is the gospel. Not many things said. This is why the Bible refers to Jesus as the word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And it was referring to Jesus. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He puts an identity to the Word, and He calls the Word the person of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who became flesh? The Word. So this is what Jesus called men to repose faith in, to believe in Himself, to believe in Him, to believe in Him as the author of salvation. Glory be to Jesus. Now, the word repent as used in the gospel accounts, in the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of John the Baptist, put together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is used just 9 times. The word repent, that is, just 9 times we find Jesus and John the Baptist and His disciples telling men to repent. Just 9 times. Repent. But you see, the word faith, or the word believe, have faith, are more prominent words on the lips of Jesus. More prominent words. Very few times Jesus used the word repent. You should repent. You should have repented. And then, you know, even at those times, like we saw yesterday in context, we saw how the repentance was repentance from unbelief to having faith in Christ. Hallelujah. The immediate context always showed us how that what Jesus was addressing at those points was the unbelief in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. Mark 1:15 is a classic example. Bible says, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, that is, believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. So we find the word repent used just 9 times in all the gospel accounts. Matthew chapter 3 verse 2, Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, Matthew 11, 20, Mark 1:15, Mark 6:12, Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5, Luke 16:30, Luke 17:4. Just 9 times. But I said the words believe or have faith are more prominent words on the lips of Christ. Over 100 times in the gospel accounts. Believe, have faith. You know why? Because the believing is the repentance. Praise God. Like we saw yesterday, the believing is the repentance. So what does a man need to do to have remission of sins? What does a man need to do to receive the gift of remission of sins? A man needs to believe. Hallelujah. What repentance brings remission of sins? The repentance that brings remission of sins is faith in the Son of God. It's turning away from unbelief in the word of God concerning Jesus to having faith in what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. And we're going to come to the issue of restitution in this teaching. The issue of restitution. You discover that man is not meant to do anything else to receive forgiveness. Hallelujah. In fact, listen, if a man does anything to be qualified to receive remission of sins, then remission of sins cannot be a gift of grace. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you do anything to qualify for the gift of remission of sins, then it is not a gift of grace, because grace rules out your works. Totally and 100%. Grace rules out the works of men. It rules out fleshly performance. It rules out meritorious performances. Hallelujah. Meritorious performances are ruled out under grace. Grace is without works. All of Christ, none of yourself. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 11 verse 6. Bible says, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Have you seen? Grace and works are mutually exclusive. They don't mix. They cannot coexist. Hallelujah. So if a man needs to do something to receive the gift of remission of sins, if a man needs to do something to be forgiven in Christ Jesus, then it is not of grace. Hallelujah. That's why the repentance that qualifies a man to be saved, that qualifies a man to receive the remission of sins, isn't repentance from conduct, from bad habits, isn't a change of lifestyle, isn't self-transformation. Praise God. You're not trying to dress yourself to look very good for God to accept you. Hallelujah. It's in Christ Jesus we are accepted. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. Having been accepted in the beloved. Glory be to Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus we are accepted. The acceptance is not based on our merit, on our qualifications, on anything we have done right. It is based on the sacrifice of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:6, hallelujah, says to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of his grace. It is by his grace we are accepted in the beloved. Glory be to Jesus. So a man doesn't need to do anything. You don't need to set yourself right. You don't need to start living uprightly to receive remission of sins. That will be merited. Hallelujah. But because the grace of God is unmerited, a man needs to do nothing except to have faith and to put his trust in that which Jesus has done. So the person doing something is Christ. So our faith is in the done, finished work of Jesus Christ by which we receive the gift of the remission of our sins. Hallelujah. So faith is the emphasis. Believing is the emphasis. Believing is the emphasis. Because believing is the repentance that brings remission of sins. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16:9-16. Mark 16:9-16. Bible says, now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. You know, disciples were weeping and crying. Why were these guys mourning and weeping? Why were they mourning and weeping? Because of their unbelief. If they had believed that Jesus would rise on the third day, as he had told them, as he had spoken to them, on this particular day, they were not meant to be found mourning and weeping. They were meant to be looking out for the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. But because they had not believed, they were still mourning and weeping. Mourning the one that had risen again from the dead. Hallelujah. Verse 11 now says, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Even when Mary Magdalene came to tell them this reality, that see, Jesus is alive. He's alive again. He's alive again. He's risen. He's no longer dead. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. You know, Bible says, they did not believe her. Luke's account says, and their words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Luke 24 verse 11, their words seemed like idle tales. Glory to Jesus. They were yet in unbelief. Let's keep reading on. Bible says in verse 12, after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, do you know why this was very important? Do you know why it was important for them to have believed the report of those who had seen him? Because this is what they were going to take to the world. I mean, Jesus is not going to appear to everybody physically, showing his hands, his, you know, the nails, the place and the places where he was pierced. There was not going to be a physical evidence given to the world. All that will be given to the world is the word of these eyewitnesses. Hallelujah. The words of these eyewitnesses, what they saw, and you know what they saw, that he indeed rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. John will say that which we have seen, which we have touched, which our hands have handled. Peter will say, we have not declared to you cunningly devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Hallelujah. The things we have seen. You know, one of the prerequisites to choosing an apostle to replace Judas in the book of Acts before the day of Pentecost by the apostles was that one of those who have come in and, you know, who have gone out and come in with us all this while that Jesus was with us, you know, must be a witness together with us. That is, he must have seen. Hallelujah. But then these guys were not even believing those who had seen him. They were not believing. So they were, in fact, their responses were like the responses of those who reject the gospel today. Glory be to Jesus. So Jesus rebuked their hearts because of their unbelief and hardness of heart. Look at the word hardness of heart again. At Luke 24, he says, slow of heart to believe. There was a problem with their heart, with their attitude. Hallelujah. Bible says he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Unbelief was the problem. Verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes. Verse 16, have you seen? Believing is the emphasis. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Because the believing is the repentance. It doesn't say he who repents and believes. It is he who believes. Hallelujah. He who believes. He who believes. Using repentance and believing in the same sentence would sound like a tautology. If you say he will repent and believes, that would be a tautology because he will repent is he who believes. Hallelujah. He who believes
will be saved. Glory be to Jesus.
Look at Luke's account, Luke chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. Luke 8, verses 11 and 12. Hallelujah. Luke 8, verses 11 and 12. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. What gets a man saved is his believing. So when Jesus says to them at Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5, that unless you all repent, you would all likewise perish. Unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. What he was saying in essence is unless you all believe, you will perish. Hallelujah. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when Jesus says, unless you repent, you will perish, what he was saying is, unless you believe, you will perish. Hallelujah. Because the believing is the repentance. Look at Luke 24, verse 25. We've seen this before. See the emphasis on believing. Very emphatic. Believing, believing, believing. Because the believing is the repentance. Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Slow of heart to believe. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. We saw this yesterday, we'll see it again. We'll see it over and over and over and over and over and over again till you're able to quote it. Hallelujah. Praise God. John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That all through him might believe. That all through him might believe. That all through him might believe. Hallelujah. Have you seen? But then Bible tells us that John was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then right there, Bible says that all through him might believe. So because the repentance people were going to find in the ministry of John is faith in Christ Jesus. Believing in the gospel. Yesterday we saw how John pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Because that's the crux of his assignment. To point to Jesus as the Lamb of God. To point to Jesus as the one who remits sins. So remission of sins is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist came to point men to that fact. So believing is the emphasis. Glory to Jesus. John 1:12. Let's see from verse 11. And he came to his own did not receive him, but as many as believe, hallelujah, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Hallelujah. To those who believe in his name. Because the believing is the repentance. Those who believe become children of God because of their faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. John 3:16 to 18, popular scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. He who believes is not condemned. Amen. Someone says, it's not just about believing. He must also repent. No, the repenting is the believing. The believing is the repenting. Hallelujah. Have you seen? Look at John chapter 3, verse 36 also. John 3:36. Believing is the emphasis because the believing is the repentance. So what am I saying in essence? Before we read John 3:36, what am I saying in essence? If I stand before a prostitute and I want to persuade the prostitute to trust in Christ Jesus for the remission of sins, I want the prostitute to be saved, what should I preach? Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Don't preach how she's meant to modify her conduct and attitude and morality. Don't even preach on how she's meant to stop prostituting. Amen. Now listen, I've not said there can't be room for showing people the futility of the life they've come to embrace. Amen. And you notice this in the ministry of Christ and the apostles. When men refuse the gospel, sometimes before they even get the chance to talk about the gospel, they show men the futility of the things they are trusting in. Hallelujah. For the Jews, they continually showed them the futility of relying on the law. When Paul got to Athens, he showed them the futility of relying on idols. However, that is not what bets repentance and faith in God. Repentance, which is faith in God, that is not what bets it. If that is all you preach to a man, the man will not be saved. Sometimes the reason why we say all that to them is so as to remove the veil from their eyes, to let them see the emptiness and the foolishness of that which they are clinging onto and relying upon. Hallelujah. But then, a preacher must quickly navigate into the facts of the gospel. You must quickly begin to show them the provision that has been made in Christ Jesus. How that God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing to them their trespasses, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You must show them and announce to them the goodness of God in the gospel of Christ. Because this is what bears faith. Hallelujah. This is what leads men to repentance. Remember Romans chapter 2 verse 4. It is the goodness of God. Do you despise his long-suffering and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Listen, don't be deceived by how their faces are. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived by how they are looking at you. You know, the countenance of the person, the disposition of the person. Maybe the person is just boning his face. You know, that's all a facade. Hallelujah. I remember this experience very strongly. So remarkable. I was sharing the gospel with a young man outside a bar, a beer parlor. And then he was just giving me a tough time. At some point, he almost caused the scene. He was making noise, he was shouting, he was screaming at me, "Go away, leave me alone." And you know, what was I saying? I was just preaching about the love of God. God loves you. Jesus died for your sins. God doesn't want you to perish. He loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for your sins, to pay for all of your sins. You can receive salvation free of charge. It's a free gift. God is not relying on you to change your ways. God wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to give you a new life. This guy kept shouting. You know, I almost walked away because, of course, I had to be safe. And he was already putting up some aggressive attitudes. But then I continued. In fact, I remember what broke him was when I said, "See, in spite of the way you are responding to God's love, what I'm preaching and sharing with you, God still loves you and he's not angry with you." This guy just suddenly began to cry. Hallelujah. Suddenly began to cry. You see, sometimes we feel that what will break a sinner or break a rebellious and hardened person is, you know, more preaching on condemnation, more preaching on how they ought to change themselves, how they are worthless and all that, and then scare them with hell and all. See, those things don't change people. Hallelujah. That's not what works. Bible says in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Hallelujah. So you might be preaching to that prostitute, that drug addict. That, you know, we're just mentioning habits. Beyond all these habits, there's a root cause. It's called unbelief. You might be preaching to this set of people who look like, you know, hardened criminals. And they do not seem to be paying attention at first. Don't quickly change your sermon. Don't quickly start teaching something that you consider to be harder and stronger to break them. Stay on the gospel. Hallelujah. Remind them of what Jesus has done. Keep at it. You'll be shocked. The gospel is indeed the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. So, believing is the emphasis in the Bible. Believing is the repentance that saves. Glory be to Jesus. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3:36. Bible says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life." See, the believing is what brings everlasting life, because the believing is the repentance unto life. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 8, verse 24. Believing is the emphasis in the ministry of Jesus. John 8:24. So when we go out there and we want people to repent, we must emphasize a need for them to believe in what Jesus has done. John 8:24. Glory to Jesus. John 8:24. Bible says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So have you seen the reason why a man will die in his sins is not because he hasn't changed his ways, it's because he has not believed in the Son of God. Hallelujah. There are many people who have changed their ways. As a matter of fact, listen, are you aware that a lot of religions have successfully helped people to change their ways? In a sense, they've helped people become nicer, more kind, more generous. Amen. I mean, religions that make people give more alms, to be more selfless, sacrificial,
You know, without changing their lives, they are changing their conduct. Yet, a man who practices such a religion does all that will yet go to hell. Amen. Because what makes a man die in his sins, what will make a man die in his sins is what Jesus is saying here. If you do not believe that I am He, if you do not believe that I am the Son of God, if you don't believe in my work of salvation, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will die in your sins. Believing in Jesus is repentance from unbelief, and that is what saves. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. John 9, 35, that Jesus was emphatic on believing because believing is the repentance that saves. John chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. This is the story of the man that was born blind, that Jesus got healed, and the Pharisees were mad, and they cast him out of the temple. They excommunicated him. So Jesus found him, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" And Jesus said to him, "You are both seeing him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshipped him. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." So Jesus asked the man a simple question: do you believe in the Son of God? You know, because in the final analysis, not many things are going to count. Where salvation is concerned, not many things are going to count. It's just one thing. Have you believed in the Son of God who died for you and rose again? Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 10, verse 37 to 38. John 10, 37 to 38. Hallelujah. I'll read. Bible says, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." You see that I was calling men to believe regularly. Believe, because the believing is the repentance. John 11, verse 25 to 27. John 11, 25 to 27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Hallelujah. So you see how Martha's faith, Martha's belief, was not just in the fact that Jesus could raise the dead, was in the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Hallelujah. It's beyond faith in power. Amen. There are many people who all the faith they have in Christ is his ability to do something, the ability to heal, the ability to provide, the ability to work miracles. That's not the faith that saves. The faith that saves is in Jesus' ability to remit sins, in Jesus' ability to save from the power and the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Glory be to Jesus. Look at John, the same John 11, verse 41 to 42. John 11, 41 to 42. Hallelujah. Bible says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.'" You know, yesterday I showed us how that the works of Jesus, the miraculous deeds and mighty works of Jesus, were also meant to serve a different purpose apart from doing good to men. They were meant to serve a purpose, another purpose of making people pay attention to the gospel, making people receive his message. Hallelujah. So he says, "I've said this that they may believe that you have sent me." Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And you see that in this particular portion, a lot of people believed him after they saw what he did. Bible says in verse 45, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him." Hallelujah. Because of what they saw. So they saw the signs and wonders, and it compelled them to pay attention to his message. Look at John chapter 12, verse 35 to 38. Believing is an emphasis, because believing is the repentance. John 12, 35 to 38. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. John 12, 35 to 38, I'll read. Bible says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light.'" Hallelujah. So he was calling them to believe in the light, that they may become sons of the light. Hallelujah. Sons of light. Believe, 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 believe. a major emphasis in the ministry of Jesus. Look at verse 44 to 46 of the same John 12. 44 to 46. Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Whosoever believes," hallelujah, because the believing is the repentance that brings men out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. John chapter 14 verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Believing in God is believing in Christ. Hallelujah. Believing in Christ is believing in God. Hallelujah. They are one and the same. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe in Christ Jesus, you do not believe in God. If you believe in God without believing in Christ, you have believed in a false God. Amen. Because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So believing in God, believing in the Father, is believing in the Son. Hallelujah. And that's the repentance that brings life. That's the repentance that guarantees the remission of sins. John 14, verse 10 to 12. John 14, 10 to 12. "Do you believe that I am in the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Hallelujah. Believe. That's the emphasis in the ministry of Jesus. Believe, believe, believe. As opposed to the word repent. You know, like I've shown you, they mean the same. But you see how that repentance most times does not even stand alone. You find repent and believe. Hallelujah. But then, if you look through every place we've been reading so far, you see how the word believe stands alone. The word believe stands alone because the word believe itself is repentance. Hallelujah. Because the word believe itself is the word that captures the essence of repentance towards God. Glory be to Jesus. Look at John 16. John chapter 16 verse 7 to 9. John 16 verse 7 to 9. Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse 9. "Of sin, because they do not believe in me." We saw this yesterday. "Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of their sin of unbelief." John 19, verse 35. John 19, verse 35. Hallelujah. John 19, 35. Bible says, Anyone who has sinned has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe." Hallelujah. The essence of the testimony is so that you may believe. Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't say so that you may repent. It says so that you may believe, because it means the same. So that you may repent would mean so that you may believe. So that you may believe means so that you may repent. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 20, verse 29 to 31. John 20, 29 to 31. Hallelujah. That's the last scripture we're going to see on the emphasis of believing in this particular episode. John 20, 29 to 31. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name." You know, we've been able to see sufficient proofs from the Bible. Overwhelming evidence from the scriptures that believing is the repentance that God expects men to have towards the gospel. Hallelujah. Towards him. Glory be to Jesus. Now, look at this now. The word believe in the Greek is the word that means to think to be true. That is to think something to be true. That's the word believe in the Greek. It means to think something to be true. To be persuaded of something. To place confidence in something. That's the Greek word pisteuo. Pisteuo. Pisteuo is spelled P-I-S-T-E-U-O. Accented. U-O. Then the O is accented with a dash. It means to think something to be true, like I said. To place confidence in something. To be persuaded of something. Now compare this with the word repent. Metanoheo. Which means to think differently. Hallelujah. So, have you seen? Pisteuo, believe. Think to be true. Metanoheo, think differently. So it's the same. In unbelief, we thought God's word was a lie. In believing, we think God's word is true. We think God's word to be true. Hallelujah. In unbelief, we think God's word is a lie. In faith or in believing, we think God's word to be true. Hallelujah. It all starts in the mind. It's all about the mind, the state of the mind, a change of mindset. Hallelujah. So look at John chapter 3 verse 33 as I begin to close. Bible says, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. He has judged God to be true. Hallelujah. To be true. Look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 10 to 11. Believing means you now say God is true. God's word is true. Unbelief means you were saying that God's word is a lie. Hallelujah. So repentance, which means to think differently, and believing, which means to think something to be true, are both addressing a state of mind. They are both referring to a state of mind. That's why they are the same. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Have you seen? He who does not believe has made God a liar. That is, he has considered God's word to be a lie. Remember the genesis of unbelief. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. Where the serpent came to meet the woman and said, as God said, oh. And then the woman said, no, God has not said we shouldn't take of every tree. God has only said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we shouldn't eat and all that. And then the devil says, the serpent says, no, you will surely not die. It contradicted the word of God. It said something directly opposite to the word of God. Hallelujah. Something in direct opposition to God's word. And the woman believed it. So the genesis of unbelief is believing a lie, something contrary to God's word. Hallelujah. So we repent from thinking God's word is a lie. Hallelujah. That's thinking differently. We repent from thinking God's word is a lie to, believing that God's word is true, to thinking that God's word is true. So faith is persuasion contrary to what you hold as true. Praise Jesus. So it's about the mindset. Faith addresses our mindset. Hallelujah. It's about having a different persuasion, a different opinion, the true opinion based on the word of God as it is revealed in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So repentance, which is faith in Christ, is informed by a knowledge of the Son of God. You have the word of God presented to the man or presented to you in the power of the Spirit of God. And it knocks off your ideologies, your opinions, all the lies that the enemy has told you. It begins to destroy them. It pulls down the strongholds of lies and unbelief and falsehood, destroys them, it nullifies them, and it erects in your heart a valid basis for believing and trusting God. So when a preacher of the gospel meets a sinner, what are the things that the sinner should start thinking differently about? God's love, God's goodness, God's forgiveness. The sinner doesn't know all this. The unbeliever does not know the basis for forgiveness. Doesn't know God is so good. God is so loving. God is so compassionate. God is so gracious. Doesn't know that forgiveness can be accessed freely. Hallelujah. So when the preacher of the gospel comes in touch or comes in contact with an unbeliever, it bets in that person a different kind of thinking towards God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. Look at this quickly. Romans chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. The sinner begins to think differently concerning God because of the ministry of the word. Romans 10, I'll read from verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We report to men, we preach to men the glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. The sinner should encounter the gospel and begin to say, oh, that's new. I never knew this is how God forgives. I never knew that forgiveness is this simple. I never knew that salvation is only by faith. I never knew that salvation is not by my works. I never knew that God does not deal with me according to my sins and trespasses. That's thinking differently. That's repentance towards God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 3 to 4. Bible says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. So you see how that repentance cannot be just any kind of turning away from anything. It is repentance that comes as the light of the gospel shines upon the hearts of men. This is repentance that comes through knowledge. The light of the gospel is the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. There are things the sinners are informed about. There are things the unbelieving man is informed about in the gospel of Christ that gives him a change of mindset, a different perception about God. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 to 16. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Hallelujah. The veil is taken away. Now, what's this veil? Do you know that the Old Testament was a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of judgment, condemnation? It is called the letter that kills. Hallelujah. It is called the ministry of death at verse 7. The letter that kills at verse 6. Hallelujah. It is called the ministry of condemnation at verse 9. Have you seen? So the veil that is taken away is that the New Testament shows men how that God is not condemning men in Christ Jesus. For God has not sent forth his Son into the world that the world may be to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So there's a whole lot of thinking differently that ought to take place in the man that receives the gospel of Christ Jesus. There's a whole lot of thinking differently that ought to take place in the recipients of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So repent actually means start to think differently concerning God, based on what his word says about him. Start believing the report of God. Start believing in what the word says. Hallelujah. Repentance is believing, and believing is repentance. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, and let's have a great time together again in the word of God. Share this on your status, on your Facebook walls. Invite your friends, your colleagues, your family members, your classmates, and let's just come together and have a great time in the word of God. What a way to begin our days, you know, in the study of the word of God. Have a great day of being full of God's word, being full of prayers, being full of the Spirit, being full of power, being full of faith. See you in the next episode.